By the time I reached 71, I decided the wingback chair was a very good idea. I'd also decided a pair of $1,000 dress shoes didn't do the job as comfortably as a pair of sneakers. I was well into the massaging of my right instep when I heard the sound.
Hmm?
It seemed to be coming my way. I got up to look down the curving stairwell. At first, I saw nothing. And then, an orange and green something went by a few floors below. The something showed again at the next visible spot, about another half floor up, and this time I saw more of it. It looked like the hind foot of a frog. A very, very freakishly huge frog. The heroic thing to do would be to grab a convenient weapon and sneak down the stairs to confront the monster. Whatever was going on, this thing had to be connected to the werewolves, and whoever was behind it had decided a certain private investigator had become enough of a nuisance. Yes, that would have been the heroic thing to do. But Mama Mandolin did not raise a hero. Heroes die pretty quickly. Just check military history. I saw the points of the horns over the frog's eyes appear just above the stairwell. The rest of the head followed. The head was easily 4 feet across. It had reddish-brown blotchy stripes on a skin that varied from a pale yellow with greenish hints to a sunrise orange. A Pac-Man frog. It was, for the love of Pete, a Pac-Man frog, one the size of a VW Beetle. Two black eyes floating in a fried egg white sat right beneath the horns, and they stared at me as if I was the tastiest looking bit of mouse flesh it had ever seen. The mouth opened, revealing a throat more than adequate to accommodate Mrs. Mandolin's baby boy. And then there was the teeth, backward pointing teeth, lots and lots of backward pointing teeth. That convenient weapon I mentioned earlier? There wasn't one. The frog hopped toward me, its mouth gaping. There was only one thing to do, run! And because the frog blocked any access to the stairs leading down, I headed up at speed. Fortunately for me, I was faster than the frog and could dodge it easily. Unfortunately for me, the frog only needed to get it right once. I sprinted. The frog croaked. The sound wave slammed into me like the shock wave of an explosion. It picked me up and threw me into the stone stairway with what felt like bone snapping force. There was a dampness coating my upper lip, and I tasted the bitter, coppery sweetness of blood. My head swam as tiny little flares of light danced around in my vision. I don't know how I managed it. Somehow, I got to my feet and continued to run. Well, more of a fast limp, really, but I continued upwards. The next landing had the chair, table, and lamp like all of the others. I sent what I could down the stairs. It seemed the frog didn't like that. I was able to avoid the shockwave by throwing myself down into the side. The secured lamp? Not so much. It blew apart, literally. Lamp shrapnel embedded itself into the back of my thigh. The pain added to the speed of my climb. On the next landing, I looked for the wingback, lamp, and table, but they weren't there. Eric was.
Tony! Good Lord, what happened?
You should see the other guy.
I'm not sure what happened right after that, because things got a little fuzzy. I remember seeing the frog hop onto the stones of the landing and open its mouth. Eric grabbed me. There was a sort of blackish mist, and then nothing. And then the mist cleared and we were standing in the sitting room. One of the cousins stood behind the high-backed chair the Viscount had been using when I first discussed the case with them. He wasn't happy.
Eric! There are monsters in the castle! They are killing the guests!
Even as muzzy as I was, I understood what that meant.
Alcina, where's that gun?
Where is it?
I turned and grabbed the Viscount by his shirt.
It's
gone!
It's in the drawer right over there!
He vanished in a puff of black mist.
Fantastic. Now he could be anywhere.
What was that?
It's something some of us can do to escape danger, but only when we are very frightened.
Can you?
No, I...